Verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of Bekuroth, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly one. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they were found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zup, Paul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, and take thought for us. And he said to him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man. All that he says comes surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered, Saul again said, behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spoke, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. And they went up the hill to the city. And they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you, in the, to make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as you be come into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he does bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time you shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come up unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake to you, this same shall reign over my people. And then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate, and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and will tell you all that is in your heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind upon them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not upon you, and upon all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant, and brought them into the parlor, and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before you and eat. For to this time hath it been kept for you since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, up, that I may send you away. And Saul arose and went out, both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still for a while, that I may show you the word of God. Oh, my, 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 my. What are we going to hear in this one? As we started out, what Samuel's name mean? Heard of God, okay? Or his name is God, okay? Two different meanings. But we have to know that this book is something going on internally in you, okay? We can't continue to read this as a history book, because this is something that's going on inside of our lives, okay? And this is experience. Who do you think Saul is in this chapter? Who is Saul representative of in this chapter? You, the carnal man who's going to be changed. But I say it more than just the carnal man. You, the first fruit. Okay? You've been chosen. Okay? But Saul kind of represents the old man Adam, and he represents the first order of religion, the Jewish faith as they started, but they wouldn't hear under the law, and then it had to be changed into David, the Christ, right? There's a lot of shadows and types going on in here. But we got to apply this in our lives, okay? And back to the first verse. There was a man of Benjamin. What's the name Benjamin mean? Son of my right hand. Son of my right hand. Full power and authority. Whose nature or character, the word name is nature or character, was Kish. What does Kish mean? Bent or a bow. Now, you can see a bow in two different ways. You can see a bow, or three different ways. You can see a bow like a bow and arrow. You can see like you tie a bow to decorate a package. Or you can see a bow as a rainbow, which is called covenant. Guess what I would see this as? This is a covenant. Saul had a covenant made with God, did he not? God made a covenant with this man. So I see this as a very positive thing, that there was a covenant made with Kish. The son of Abiel, which means what? God is my father. And Zeor, which means a parcel, a kernel, or a bundle. See? And I see that again as the bundle, as the bundle of humanity. Now, I also see it as first fruit, because first fruit was gathered in the wave offering and tied in a bundle and waved unto the Lord. Priest went out and picked out each one he wanted through the field, wrapped them together, and waved them up to the Lord, signifying the crucifixion. Beautiful passage, okay? Beautiful comparison. The son of Bechorah, which means the son of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? Christ. The son of Ephiah, which means I will make you breathe. Hello. I will make you spirit. How's that? The breath of God was placed in us, and we become soulish, become living souls, but we were a spirit inside this flesh body. And he was a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. What does Saul mean? Asked or desired. He was the desired one. He was a choice man and a goodly man, and there was among the children of Israel not a goodlier person, or a goodlier man, it should say, than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any man. Okay? Now, from his shoulders and upward, wonder what we're talking about here. He was a head taller, is what they would say, right? But you know what I'm saying? He had a head to think. That there was no one that was higher than he was in the people. I would say he was a man that had the mind of God in him. How would you think? Would you think that would be possible? See? Who's he talking about? Me? You? See? We are better in an intellect, okay? We're no better than anybody, but we have the mind of Christ. Was the mind of Christ given to all humanity? No. Not the mind. The seed of Christ is in all humanity. But the mind of Christ was given to one select group of people called first fruit, the ones that can hear today. And they hear with this word called Shama, hear with the intent to respond, intelligently respond, or positively respond to what was said. Okay? And the asses of Kish, and again, what's Kish mean? Covenant. The asses of the covenant, that'd be all of us, wouldn't it? Saul's father were lost. Weren't we all born in sins and trespasses? See? He's trying to say we all have been led astray. We were all born dead in our sins and trespasses. True or false? Right? See, we're all lost. So somebody has to go find us. Kind of like the parable of the 90 and 9. If you can go out and get that last one, you're not going to lose any of them. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of your servants with you and arise and go seek the asses. Or go seek the humanity, okay? You know what this word ass literally means here? It means a female donkey. Literally, it's the soul of humanity. Female side is the soul, isn't it? Okay. So he said, and he's telling, you know, Kish says to Saul, and Kish would represent the covenant, the man of God, or God himself, saying to his son, go get the rest of them that's lost. Who would Saul represent there? He would be the Christ or the first fruit going after him, see? Now, and he passed through Mount Ephraim, double, duality, right? And through the land of Shalisha. Huh? Shalisha? And that means treble. Okay? So they've been through duality, and this is three. Treble. Shalisha means treble. But they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem. What does it mean? Hello? The word Shalem means foxes, okay? Foxes, like a little fox that runs on the ground. You know in the Psalms where it says the little foxes spoil the vine, okay? And I see three mentions right there of three different places, three different realms, okay? They were Shalem, that's the foxes, that's your first realm, that's your Passover realm. Shalash, well, we go to Ephraim. Ephraim's your Pentecostal realm. And Shalisha is treble. And what was treble mean? Three, your third day, your third round. So he's showing you a pattern. You've got to go through all of them, don't you? And when you go through all the realms, you're going to end up at something. And some people want to say the fourth realm, but I don't believe in such a thing. So, the book don't prove it out. And when they were come to the land of Zup, Zup means what? Honeycomb. The Bible says, when they come to the land of milk and honey, talking about the same place, honey represents the revelation of God. When you go through all the realms, guess what you're going to end up with? The revelation of the Word of God. See, I go through all my realms of growth and maturity, and eventually I'm going to end up with the mind of Christ as it should have been from the beginning, as we had from the beginning, and we lost it, and now we're going back to that very beginning.
You see?
Benjamin, that's just the land of power. Benjamin means the son of my right hand, full power and authority.
So what does that mean about the land?
Well, it wasn't talking about specific places. The land of Benjamin was a country. I mean, we were talking about going through three cities here, these different towns that was mentioned, Ephraim, Shalisha, and Salem. They were three different places, and just like Zup was another town. We're talking about this whole country, Bob, okay? And it's working in shadows and types. And when they come to this place, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father care leaving for the asses. So they got out there pretty far, and this is what the carnal mind can say to you sometimes. Whoop, don't go too far. You went too far. We better get back where the rest of the sheeple are. Huh? We better go back where all the sheep are, because you're going too far. Same thing. See, we're going too far. How can you go too far in God, Bob? You can't. It's an impossibility. See? So anytime your mind says, you're going too far with this God thing, just jack slap it and throw it in the back seat. See? Because you can't go too far with God. Because you know what? As far as God wants to go, that's how far I want to go. I don't care if he goes in circles, loops, straight up, straight down, east, west, north, south. It don't make no difference. If he goes, I want to go. Wherever he is at. Don't no one tell me you're going too far. Because I have never in my lifetime, of all the tons and tons, I couldn't think of the number of people I've met in my life, and I've never met one that's went too far in God. I've never met a human being that's went too far in God. Anybody says that stuff is some religious fanatic trying to tell you don't go too far because you might make it dark upon him. Look bad on him because he quit. He sat down. He didn't go on, or she didn't go on. Sons of God, let's just go back and look at the Son of God, Jesus. Don't you think they told him he went too far? You're a little fanatical here. You're full of devils. You're the son of Belial. You're full of Beelzebub. All these accusations because he was going farther than what they wanted to go. We've got to see this in our life. Don't let no one tell you you can't do it. You can accomplish anything God wants you to do. The only thing that can stop you is you, right between your ears, listening to your brain tell you something. Hear what God said. You'll forget about the rest of it. Okay? And he said to him, behold, now there is a city. This is the servant speaking. In this city, a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he says surely comes to pass. You know what the book says about that? All these people prophesying stuff to you? All you have to do is have one mistake in this. It says, if any man prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, and it come not to pass, don't fear that man or woman, because they're not a prophet of God. Well, I could wipe out the Pentecostal realm, couldn't I? I could wipe it out if I wanted to do that. I don't know, I'm not interested in that. But I say, with all this false prophecy they're throwing out, they eliminate themselves because they're out there speaking for God, not speaking as God. God don't need our help. He said, I don't want sacrifice, I want your obedience. So I speak as God tells me to speak. I don't speak anything else. How many people in this room has heard me prophesy? Very few. You know why? Because I saw the error of the way of everybody just running. I was taught this when I first come into Pentecostal realm. Go out in the woods and practice your prophesying. Prophesy to the trees and God will make it come to pass. That's what I was told. Yes, sir. I'll bet my life on that. I swear on my life that's exactly what they were told me. You go prophesy to the trees. Just go practice it. Go in a room by yourself and just say things and God will make them come to pass. God's not a genie in a bottle. I'll rub the bottle, make him jump out and do my bidding. I'm his servant. He's the master. See, that thinking process don't work. And all you have to do is think just a little bit. Just a little teeny bit. And you'll cast aside all this religious garbage that they throwed on us. All this baggage they've strapped on us to keep us from getting to the top of the mountain. See? Slowing you down. Because if you get up the mountain, you'll be able to see all the picture. And they don't want you to do it. As long as they can keep you down in the pit with them, you can think that they're something special. Ain't none of us special. We're all sons of God. But some right now are called and some aren't. That's the difference. We don't want no cadavers laying around here, do we? Okay. He said, now let us go there, and perhaps he can show us our course of life that we should go or we should walk. Well, you know what? You find the man of God that's telling you the truth, and I'm not saying male or female. I'm saying this man of God, whichever person it is, with a woman or man, makes no difference. If they got the Spirit of God in them, let the Spirit of God speak. Let that man speak in him. Okay? So if you find him, he said, well, perhaps maybe he can tell us which way we should go. I'm going to say this. You find the man or woman of God that's got the Spirit of God in him and what he says is true and comes to pass everything he says, he can tell you. You know who it is? It's Christ in you. It's not an external thing. When you find the Christ in you, you can hear what he says. What will you do? See, there's nothing wrong with us gathering together to understand more about God and to fellowship with each other. But we don't have to do this to have God. We only have to know that God is resident within us. Is that right? If we know God is in us, how do you think Jesus could walk with the opposition he had? He knew who he was. He said, I'm getting everything from my Father. I'm not worried about what these people can do around here. That don't make any difference. My Father is greater than all, he said. He can take care of everything. He told me what to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not worried about what anybody else says or does. See? There's the peace. Know that your Father is greater than all. How can they touch me, Bob? And not unless the Father says it's okay. So if they touch me, then I must need to learn something. I must need another discipline in my life. Well, then, you know what I want? Exactly that. Okay? May not feel good, but that's what I want. Because I know when it's over with. When it's over with, it'll be better. It'll be better. And I'm not going to fight and kick through it. I'm going through it. And then Saul said to his servant, now this is kind of, there's some truth in this, but it's kind of abused. They say, see, that's where you're supposed to bring everything, give it to the preacher, you know. Hello? That's where they want to use this. They say, you're supposed to bring it and give it to the preacher. No, that's not what it's talking about. I see this as under religion, because under the law, and this was written under the law, wasn't it? Under the law, when you went to the temple, what did you have to bring? You had to bring the gifts and sacrifices, see? Well, guess what? If I go to the temple, I got the sacrifice within me. The lamb is within me. I can't go anywhere without carrying around that sacrifice. And wherever I go, I've got that sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? It's not about what I'm going to do out here. It's wherever I go, I am the sacrifice. Isn't that true? If it's not true, then we're all wasting our time. See, we're just wasting our time playing religion, if that's not true. So he's worried about bringing a gift for the man. He said, because our bread or our food or his word is what? Used up or failed. What we got in our vessel is failed. Well, that tells me Saul said it come to some revelation about Christ in him. He found out that the words that he said in his life have failed. But this man was a man, they said, everything he said come to pass, right? Everything he said came to pass. And it says earlier about Samuel that never a word, earlier in chapters of Samuel, never a word that he spoke fell to the ground. That means everything was heaven sent and heaven bound. See? Into the Spirit. And everybody says, whew, boy, that's wonderful. Boy, I'd like to be like that. Then take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And guess what you'll say? Tell me what you're going to say. Everything you say, not one word will fall to the ground. Spend your time in the Holy of Holies with your Father. Spend your time in the Word of God. And you can't speak anything else. How can you do it? I've had people ask me, how can you sit and talk for hours on end? And I mean 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 and 15 hours a day, nonstop, just continue to talk the Scriptures. Because I ain't got nothing else in my head. I don't want nothing else in my head. They say, you're a fanatic. I said, I know it. You can't change the subject, and I won't change my mind. I'm going to talk about it. No matter what they do, I'm going to do it. See? And whatever you want to do about it, you go ahead and do it, but I'm going to continue on my course. I was in the world, and I could curse and swear, and everybody thought that was cute. And now if I say any truth about God, now I'm a heretic. See? Now I'm a heretic. It's amazing. The farther you go with God, the farther you get away from humanity, the more accusations there is. Just fits the pattern. Not a problem with me. Okay. He said, the word is failed in our vessels, in us, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant responded to Saul again and said, behold, I have here in my hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver. You know what silver represents through Scripture? Redemption. I got some redemption. Four speaks of completeness. I got redemption in me. I got redemption. Do you got redemption? You know why I got redemption? Because of what he did on the tree. I got it. I didn't have to work for it, did I? The servant never said he saved it up or did anything else. He just said, I have it. that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. What wouldn't we give to find our way in God? What is worth anything in this world worth more than knowing our way with God? Nothing. Nothing at all. And then this verse is thrown in here. Before time or formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, or to the man of God, thus he spoke, come, let us go to the seer, or the visionary, because he that is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer, or a visionary. Then said Saul to the servant, good word. That's what he says. That's what the language says. Good word. Well said means good word. But he realized, that's a good thing you just said. You've got the point here. You got it right. Come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. Now, who do you think that servant was? Who do you think Saul was speaking to? Because Saul represents you. Who is this servant? It's the Spirit of God in you. See? It's the Holy Spirit in you giving you directions. How could anybody give you anything but a good word? It's the Spirit of God speaking to you in you. This is an internal work. And if we can't hear what the Spirit is saying about this internal thing going on in us, my God, God lives within us, not within a building, not within an organization, not within a nation, but within a people. He dwells in His people according to the Scriptures, doesn't He? God dwells in His people. We are His tabernacle. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water. What would that be? As they were going up to the higher place, and what it is, really what they're saying is, on their way or on your way, ascending up to the different realms. You're going to start in the Passover realm, and you're going to come into the Pentecostal realm, where they begin to start to draw water. Okay? But to get on up, see, the young maidens, the young soulish realm, and the word is going to be soulish in that realm. When we were in that realm, we were as soulish as anybody that's in that realm was soulish. So you can't throw rocks at somebody that you just like at one time. Through the grace of God, you've come where you came. Hebrews chapter 5 or 6 says, one of those two, I can't remember which one it is now, but it says, if God permit, we'll go on. It's not my choice to go anywhere. I didn't choose where I am today. God chose to send me there. And I'll agree with whatever He says or does. So anyway, in this soulish realm, they were still drawing the word and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered or responded to them and said, he is. Behold, he's in front of you. He's in before your presence. He said, make haste now, because he came today to the city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. Okay? Today. Note that. Put a number one beside that verse right there in your Bible. I'm going to show you something. We'll come back to it. Let's make you a little note there. Put a one or something so you can show you something. I'll show you something as we go through. Hebrews 6. Okay, Hebrews 6:3. Where he said, if God permit, we'll go on. But today, what I want to use it as day is just as a one. I'm going to show you something. Because there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. See, the high place is not up on a hill. In that day, yes. The high place in me is my thought and process in my mind. So the people's sacrifice today is where? It's within. It's up here. See, I have to sacrifice my thinking to put on the mind of Christ. You can't have a double-minded man, can we? We can't handle that no more. Double-minded man's unstable in all these ways. So we got to put on the mind of Christ, and we don't have room for my mind anymore. Okay? And as soon as you become into the city, wonder what city that is. The New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. You shall just find him. The word straightway should be just. You shall just find him before he go up to the high place to eat. Because the people will not eat until he comes, because he does bless the sacrifice. And afterwards, they eat that be bidden. You know what the word bidden is? Called. Literally said, and afterwards they that are called will eat. Only the ones that are called can eat of this. Can everyone take of the heavenly message, the heavenly food? They can't. It's designed for everybody, but everybody doesn't have the taste for it just yet. You can't blame them for not being able to partake of it, because it's God's pattern, isn't it? The first fruit is the ones that will eat of it. Okay? Now, therefore, get you up, because today you shall find him. Now, today, just like the number one up above it, that's still talking about the same day, isn't it? Okay. And they went up into the city, and when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel, and he, his name is God, or heard of God, and he's a representative of God, isn't he? He symbolizes God here. Came out and met them on their way to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear one day before Saul came. Now, look here. One day before Saul came would be number one, and then the day that he came was number two, right? So this extra day he's talking about right here, we're talking about the second day, okay? Just put a two there. We got 2 days we're talking about right now, right? I'll get on to something else later. Verse 16 says, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man. Now what day would tomorrow be? On the third day. Imagine that. What's going to happen on the third day? Look what's going to happen. I will send a man out of the land of Benjamin. So he's telling him what he's already come and faced right here. Now he's telling you he'd already told Samuel this ahead of time. God said, I told you yesterday that today I'd send you this man out of Benjamin. Okay? And you shall anoint him leader or ruler over my people, Israel. What does Israel's name mean? He shall rule as God. See? But that's a picture. And in the shadows and types, it's not a perfection, is it? See? Did Saul rule as God? He ruled as a natural God. He didn't rule as a spiritual God, did he? Because he was a very hard man. We'll get to that later. That'll come later. Or didn't we already talk about that? Okay. I can't remember now. Okay. Where am I at? Verse 16. Tomorrow about the time I will send you a man out of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him captain or ruler over my people, Israel, in order that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. What's he saying? That's the same as Christ delivered us from all the thinking processes. We got those dust mites in our head, okay? You know, the Philistines, I call them dust mites, things going on in our head. Because I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spoke to you of, this same shall rule over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the center of the gate. It says in the gate, but literally it should say the door. In the center of the door. Who is the door? Christ. And said, tell me, I pray you, where the seer's house is. And Samuel responded to Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up, what? With me to the high place. Remember, we're not supposed to become God, we become one with God. We're traveling with God. We're not God, are we? We're traveling with him to the high place. Because you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go. See, in the second day we're going to eat with him. Tomorrow he's going to be sending us out. Third day we growed up. Third day we got some things to do, don't we? We've got to come to this third realm of maturity, not just saying words, but we've got to walk what we're talking. We can't play the religious hoodoo stuff any longer. We've got to be the Son of God that we're called to be. And Romans 8:29 tells us very clearly that those he foreknew, he did predetermine, right? Or predestined, conformed. The word to be in that Romans 8:29 is not there, added words. He predestined us conformed to the image of his son. I didn't have to become a son. I was a son the very day I was conceived. You hear what I'm saying? When I was conceived in spirit, I was his son immediately. And so are you. The moment you're conceived in spirit, you're the son. You're part of this son. And it's not your call, it's Father's call. He said, and I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. What's he telling him? He said, I'm going to let you go tomorrow, and I'm going to tell you all that's in your heart. He said, you stay with me today, and tomorrow, which is the third day, because it was the day before, right? This is the third day right here, isn't it? And on the third day, I'm going to tell you everything in your heart. Now, what's he going to tell him? On the third day, I'm going to tell you, you got the heart of my Father. I can only tell you what there in the third day, you have Father's thinking process. You have the mind of Christ, don't you? So guess what you're going to tell me about myself? What I had forgotten. You're going to call to remembrance all things that were said to me before the foundation of the world. In the third day, God's going to begin to talk to you and expound to you all the things that you knew with him before the foundation of the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why people don't believe anything today, because they can't think. Nobody instills a thought process in, no one provokes a thought process in people. I am provoking you to think. I want you to exercise that muscle between your ears. If you don't, it'll get very tiny. And that's what most people's brains are. They're very tiny because they do not think. Exercise the thing God gave you. Think what went on. Think about these scriptures and let God fill in the blanks. You'll be all right. You don't have to have somebody spoon feed you like a little baby bird. God is within you. Let God feed you. When the Jews were in the desert, did they need someone to feed them? Yeah, because they had babies. But who took care of the job? God did. He took care of them. Okay? And as for your asses, they were lost 3 days ago. Hello. Your humanity was dead before it started. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Your ass was found 3 realms before you found out who you were. Before you knew who you were, you was already lost. Weren't you? Oh, God. Set not your mind on them, for they're found. He was slain before there was ever a problem. He already took care of it. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not upon you and all your father's house? Saul was a representative of Christ. He said, everything is looking toward Christ and your father's house, God. Okay? Which is this. We are our father's house. And Saul responded and said, if not I, a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin, wherefore then do you speak thou so to me? Uh-uh. The word thou so should be debar. It's the Hebrew word debar. So why are you speaking these words to me? Why me? I'll tell you what, I've said it myself a whole bunch of times. Why me? You know what the response was from God? Why not you? Why? What makes you think you can't be a son of God? Your mind is the only thing that can stop you. See, I don't take external communication coming to me in the form of condemnation and guilt. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. If you do, you can never walk in the fullness of God. Did Jesus feel the barbs from the accusations? Sure. Sure he felt them. I feel them too. But see, they don't take me off my course. My face is set like a flint. I'm not going to change my course. And I don't care what they do to me. What difference does it make? Because if they could kill me ahead of my time, then the one I'm serving is not God. My God's in control. And the proof of that is I'm still here. I had a gentleman tell me one time, said, one of these days they're going to stone you to death. He said, I might be able to pick up a stone and throw with him. I said, you'd have to have a heck of an arm. Because there's a line lined up for miles back through there wanting to stone me. He said, I'd probably have to buy a 30-06 to get one to you. I said, you might have to. That may not reach me. That won't reach me. Until God says it's okay, then take me. Fine. Here I am, ready to go. Okay? And I'm not saying that I've ascended or anything or I'm better than anybody else. I'm just saying, hey, I know what God's doing and I know who I am. I know who He is. And there ain't nothing to fear. I'm not going to fear facing God. Why should I be afraid of my Father? He loves me. You hear me? Everybody thinks God is Father. Oh, He's my Father. But they're scared to death to get near Him. If God would show up in most churches, it'd look like a screen door. People leaving through the walls. That's what it'd look like. They'd be scared to death. Because they think that silly representation of some man in robes standing up here saying, oh, God! They think that's God. And they think that man up there that molests children is God. No, God doesn't do those things. That's a man. Or it's a woman. Whatever it is. It's a humanity. And God doesn't do those things. And if a man is a representative of God, he doesn't do those things. Or she doesn't do those things. You can't do it. If you know your Father loves you, why would you be concerned about anything? I know He chastises those He loves. If I do something, He can fan my bottom anytime He wants to. But I know my Father won't do it unless I deserve it and I need it. And it'll be for my benefit. My benefit. Okay? You got to learn who your Father is and what's going on. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them to the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were 30 men. Not about, it was which were 30 men. There was 30 persons there. What would 30 represent? Huh? Maturity. And what? No. It's maturity. See, these were mature men. These were elders being called up. People that were growing up in God. You know, David had a mighty 30, didn't he? He had a mighty 30. Okay? And excuse me, that's representative of first fruit. And I would say 30 could also represent that very thing, first fruit. And see, they were called. Saul was called in there as the first fruit. Shadow and type of that. And Samuel said to the cook, well, let me say something else before we go beyond that. A lot of people think Saul was a wicked man. How many would agree with that? Saul, in most people's eyes, was a wicked man. Now, when Saul was king over Israel, and Saul had done a whole lot of vile things, and Samuel the prophet had already passed on and died. It's called the Witch of Endor he went to see. Anybody remember that one? He went to the Witch of Endor, and he covered himself up like he was just an old, ordinary person, see, not dressed in kingly clothes. And when he came into this woman, she said, what do you want? And he said, I want you to call up Samuel the prophet. Well, he was dead. And the woman says, well, how do I know you're not out here to trick me? Because the king said we're not allowed to mess with these kind of things no more, and you me being a witch, I ain't allowed to do that stuff. And you know what he said? She said, he said this, he said, no. He said, it's okay, I'm not trying to trick you. And she said, ho, you are the king. Ooh. And she went ahead, he said, I just want to talk to Samuel. Because he knew that Samuel had the authority of God. So he said, God, and when he called Samuel up, it scared the witch. Because it was really Samuel. See? He said to him, Saul, why have you disquieted my spirit? And he said, because God has left me. God has departed me. He said, well, if God's left you, what are you calling on me for? And he said, well, I need to know what I'm supposed to do in battle. Am I supposed to go out and fight this battle or do this or do that? And he said, it don't make no difference because tomorrow you're going to be with me. Now, where was he at? Tell me where Samuel the prophet was. He was at one with God. So where was Saul going? Now tell me how bad he is. He's with God. Now tell me how bad that is. Somebody's thinking's wrong. Somebody's thinking's wrong. See, we got to think about these things. And Samuel said to the cook, Bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it aside. Set this aside for something special. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it in the presence of Saul, or before Saul, panim, or in the face of Saul. And Samuel said, Behold that. And eat, because to this what time has it been kept for you? And it was the second day. Hello? It was the second day, wasn't it? To eat. The day before and the day he met him, said, Let's go up and eat, didn't he? That was in the second day. So we begin to eat from the truth and responsibility of God, because a shoulder represents something in Scripture. Where do you put your burdens? Where do you carry the load? On your shoulder. See? And that's a place of responsibility. And he began to eat this stuff, which the responsibility of God. When you start to partake of this truth of God, guess what comes in your life? Responsibility to carry the burdens of the rest of the world. You can't do that on your own. Until you have this supernatural strength of God through the Word of God, can you ever begin to carry the burden? See, so we can't get upset with the ones who don't understand. You can only carry what you're designed to carry. You can't take a half-ton pickup and put 15 or 20 tons on and expect it to haul it down the road, can you? You're going to flatten it out right where you loaded it. Crush everything. You got to make sure it's right, okay? So the responsibility was set upon Saul right here in the second day. And now notice, this wasn't in the morning of the second day either. I believe it was late in the evening. On the second day, it was the evening meal. Because unto this time has it been kept for you since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. It was the second day. Now, look, here comes the third day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul up on top of the house, or in the high place again. Okay? Now, what does that say when he came down from the high place? Shows me humility coming, because he started to take on the responsibility of God. Huh? Absolutely. See, we're coming down into humility. We come from the high place with God. See, Samuel was representative of God. And one of Samuel's name means he is God, right? So as a symbolism, when we come down to humility, God is with us in that humility. We can't put ourselves in humility. God will bring you right down into that humility. And he begins to commune with you. And when God begins to talk with you, things are changing. Things are changing. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Crucifixion. I meant crucifixion. And they arose early, What day is that? There's your third day right there again. See? There's all three of our realms. And when we begin to talk with God, guess what happens? It's time for a day star to rise in our heart. It's time for that morning star to rise in us, isn't it? After the night of darkness comes the morning, right? And this is the pattern that God is putting out. This is the day star rising in our heart. The resurrection's coming after the crucifixion. Oh, Lord, take us on. And it came to pass about the spring of day, that's dawn, that's Christ, that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send you away." You know, there it is. There is the crucifixion, isn't it? "Come on up, that I can send you away. You're the sacrifice, let me send you away." And Saul arose and went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. See? How can you travel anywhere without God? God's in me. He's in you. I can't go anywhere and leave Him behind. That's why I made a covenant with God years ago. Me and my wife both did. And we said, if we're ever any different in fellowship, in a meeting, or in a church service, or whatever you want to call it, if we're any different here than we are on the street, just strike us dead and take us out of it. I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I'm not going to be one, see? Because I know what a hypocrite is. That's being something different. And if I today come to church and I have to dress up real pretty and put a tie on and a suit on to come into a place and worship God, and then I go back outside and put my shorts on, I'm a hypocrite. Come on. I wear shorts as much as I possibly can. I like it. They're comfortable. As long as it's warm, I'm going to wear them. I don't care where I go. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not trying to impress nobody. That's me. I'm wearing my blue jeans. That's me. If somebody wants to wear a suit, that's fine. There's people that wore fancy clothes all their life for their jobs. You know, they have to dress up. That's fine. But see, if I'm dressing two different ways to come to church versus my normal way, then I'm being a hypocrite about it. You dress the way you want to be. You be yourself. Does that make sense to you? Be who you be. Just do what God's got in your heart. If it's your thing to wear nice clothes, wear nice clothes. But see, I can't do that. And I can't make you do what I do. And no one else should make you do what they do. You should be yourself. God made you unique, didn't He, Bob?
Yeah, Bob, I want to get thrown in jail.
You want to get thrown in jail?
I said, yes, I would like to dress like I want, but I don't want to get thrown in jail.
Well, that's been called not dressing. did Bob number two catch on? Okay. Verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, literally to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid your servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while." And the word "while" isn't there. Stand thou still today. What day is that? The third day. Stand still and know that I am God. Okay? Stand still today, that I may show you the word of God. Oh, this is different. That you may hear. It's the word Shama. Those words aren't there. I may show. It's here. So that you may hear intelligently with the intent to respond to the word of what? It's that you may you may hear with the intent to respond to the word for Elohim. There's a word for first fruit, and that's the one you got to hear. You got to hear what God has for the first fruit. Do you hear me? If you're the Son, you're first fruit. Do you hear that? This word here says, hear the word not of God, but for the first fruit. It's Elohim, the plurality of God. It's not Yahweh there. It's Elohim. So it's talking about the word for the first fruit. Listen to me. Listen to this if you've heard nothing else today. You got to hear a word for you. You can't hear what God says to me for you. You're Ed. You can't hear Dave's word. What God says to Dave is for Dave. What God says to Lloyd is to Lloyd. What God says to Jennifer is to Jennifer. It's not for anybody else. Do you hear that? Can you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's trying to duplicate yourself or mimeograph or mock somebody else. Be the individual God created you to be. And guess what you'll be? Free. You'll be free. Don't think you have to look like somebody else. You don't have to act like somebody else. And like Lois said, don't worry about getting your ducks all in a row, because you'll have your nose up somebody's butt. You hear me? I don't want to stick my nose up somebody's butt. I don't want to be like a duck like that. Like Bob said, you want to Z them ducks, you know? Offset them so you don't have to have your nose up somebody's rear end all the time. Or somebody have their nose up your butt all the time. See? We don't want to be it. Be yourself. Hear what God says to you. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. And he didn't say sheeple. Did he, Bob? He said, my sheep. There's a difference. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not hear. See? They'll know. The only way you can know it's God's voice is have a relationship with Him to know what He's saying. So see what that's telling you. Each one of you need to have an intimate relationship with your Father. Make sense? I'm done. No.